Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals this afternoon for our 3 o'clock docket and our third oral argument of the day. I think we will just go ahead and get started, and I'll ask Bonnie to announce the case, call the case.
May it please the court.
Well,
this is an appeal from a summary judgment. The record's fairly long and the case appears complex, but the issue is pretty simple. Does the city of Blue Mound have the authority to condemn the real property of the appellees so that Blue Mound can provide water and wastewater services to its citizens? Everything in the case hinges on that one issue. Given that that's the case and that the city's statutory authority is what's at stake, a review of the statutory law is critical. And that statutory law is pretty clear. The city has the power to acquire both public and private property by purchase, including purchase through condemnation for a public purpose. Local Government Code 251-001, Local Government Code 274-001. The delivery of water and wastewater services are expressly designated as public purposes, Local Government Code 251-001. And a city may purchase and operate a water utility system, Local Government Code 552-001. In the face of these statutory authorities, the appellees argue that the city can't condemn their property because they are a public utility providing the water service. And we submit to you that is not the case. As I noted, Local Government Code 552-001 states that the city may purchase property owned by a water utility system. And Local Government Code 273-001 makes clear that the authority to purchase includes purchase through condemnation. Therefore, under the statutes of the Local Government Code, the city may purchase property of a water utility system through condemnation. Now, let's be clear what isn't permitted, first off. Allowing this condemnation to proceed won't, as suggested by appellees, open the door for cities to take over mom and pop's convenience store or Walmart. The law restricts the city's power to eminent domain to specific specified public purposes. And condemnation for economic development is expressly prohibited. So the city can't condemn a private business in order to take it over and run it. In other words, there is no slippery slope here. But appellees are not a private business. They are private entities that own and operate public utilities. They are monopolies that are permitted to exist to serve the public. And if the public, specifically the citizens of Blue Mound, determine that they are unnecessary, the public, the city, should be able to provide for their own public utilities, and provided that they pay those public private entities fair and reasonable compensation. That brings us squarely to Lone Star Gas. It is the linchpin of the appellee's case. It's the case they have cited since this case was filed. Lone Star Gas is not controlling in this case. First off, Lone Star Gas involved an attempt by the city of Fort Worth to condemn Lone Star Gas's entire utility system, including personal and intangible property. Conversely, in this case, Blue Mound seeks only to condemn real property, which is expressly authorized. Appellees acknowledge that they have personal property used in the system, including pumps, motors, sensors, instruments, generators, and intangible property, including accounts, and the city isn't seeking to condemn any of that. They seek only to condemn the real property. So for that reason, the Lone Star Gas case simply is not applicable to this fact situation.
Well, what happens to the personal property?
Well, they can remove the personal property and put it to use in one of their other utility systems, or they can sell it. They have, just like anybody who's condemned, whose property is condemned, can remove their personal property from the business or the residence and move it anywhere they want to. So it is portable. Now, the intangible property, the accounts, well, they can collect. So those will, they'll have a finite existence, but they will remain in the appellee's hands, and they will be able to collect those. Now, but let's assume, even for sake of argument, the Lone Star Gas applies to this case. Lone Star Gas, in Lone Star Gas, the court said, it seems to be well settled that the legislature may authorize a municipality to take an existing plant of a public utility in order that same may be owned and operated by the public itself rather than by a private corporation. So the Lone Star Gas court said the law permits that to happen. The court recognized the city's power to do it, but said that at the time, because the law didn't provide for security, the mode, manner, and manner of ascertaining just compensation, and an appropriate method for taking possession pending a final hearing, the power was, quote, dormant. But it did exist. Now, the appellees argue in this case, well, nothing's changed. Well, that's simply not the case. Lone Star Gas was decided when eminent domain cases went before constitutional county courts. The special commissioner's decision was essentially the end of the story. Most of the judges weren't even lawyers, weren't required to be, and constitutional county courts had no authority to craft or fashion appropriate relief such as would be needed in this case or in a case involving a takeover of property of a public utility. In this case, however, special commissioner's award isn't even relevant. It's as if it didn't exist. Appellees filed an objection to the special commissioner's award. They claim that special commissioners aren't qualified to hear this. Well, it doesn't matter. Once they filed their objection, the special commissioners are out of the case, and the case is tried to the district court de novo. So the question is the district court qualified to make those kinds of determinations? And the law is clear that the district court certainly can do that. District courts can do all the things that the Lone Star Gas expressed concerns about. The statute said the district court may hear and determine any cause and may grant any relief that could be granted by either courts of law or equity. That's Government Code 24.008 and Texas Constitution Article 5, Section 8. I think it's particularly telling that the interpretive commentary to the Article 5, Section 8 states this. The district court occupies the most prominent place in the trial court system and is empowered to determine a particular controversy when no other tribunal has been granted authority to do so. District courts have original jurisdiction of all causes of action, whatever, for which a remedy or jurisdiction is not provided by law or the Constitution. In other words, if a statute doesn't give it to somebody else, the district court has it. So if a specific remedy isn't provided for under the law, the district court has the authority to fashion it.
Well, why isn't a remedy provided under the rules concerning the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality?
Because there's nothing in the Water Code that gives the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality the authority to provide for the transfer of property between or the condemnation of property. It simply doesn't address that, with the one exception of the section noted by appellees in their brief. That's section 13.247D. That was special legislation that specifically permitted the TCEQ or granted the TCEQ authority to arrange for transfer of property of a private utility system, but it's limited to cities over 500,000, so it doesn't apply in this case. Now, their argument would be, well, then you can't do it. But that's simply not the case. The question is, does the Water Code contradict the clear and express authority granted in the local government code to cities? And it does not. And they haven't cited any provision in the Water Code or any other law that divests the city of the authority and the power of its power of eminent domain.
Well, wasn't the real complaint about rates?
No, that was one of the, well, the city's reasoning, its reasons for initiating eminent domain were in part rates.
And doesn't the TCEQ provide remedies for excessive rates?
It regulates rates, but it has nothing to do with whether or not a city decides to exercise its statutory authority to initiate and proceed with eminent domain authority. So the fact that certain jurisdiction to regulate rates is given to TCEQ doesn't divest the city of entirely separate authority to proceed with eminent domain under an entirely separate law. And there's nothing in the water code that suggests that that's the case.
One of the problems that I'm having is that it seems to me like the whole concept of eminent domain is to provide something for the public good. I mean, correct? You're
correct.
Trying to provide something for the public good. And if we have an ongoing operation, this isn't a situation where a city has no water. And so the city's needing to condemn some property to set up some type of water provision for its citizens. We have an ongoing water utility organization. So it seems like the proper remedy, if there are issues with that, the provision of that service would be through the Texas Commission for Environmental Quality, not by going back to ground zero and starting to condemn property that's necessary for the public good.
Well, I would answer that.
So conceptually, I need help with that.
Okay. Well, first off, keep in mind, we have the authority to condemn. The city does. So the question is there a statute that divests the city of that authority? If you can't find that in the water code, then it doesn't exist, and we have that authority. So I think that's where your starting point is. Now, the fact that the city could go to TCEQ and complain about rates may address rate situations, but the fact is the government code expressly authorizes cities to purchase water utility systems in part because there is a presumption that the public has the right to control its own public utilities. The appellee's position is this: if a privately owned private utility is currently providing water in a city, that city, unless it's over 500,000 and meets that one special legislation, can never condemn the property of the private utility system, and thus a city can never take over providing what are inherently and expressly designated as public utilities. They are not a public body. The city is a public body, and the government code provides for the authority to acquire property of water districts specifically because it recognizes that the paramount provider should be, the inherent provider should be, the people themselves through their governing body.
The flip side of the argument you're making is that for cities under 500,000, why would anyone ever set up a water utilities organization when the city can then just come in and condemn it and take it over? I mean, the opposite of your policy argument is that no one is going to want to go in and set up privately the provision of public water services because in the day that they're through building it, the city can come in and condemn it.
That's, first off, it would be the case if the city wasn't required to pay fair compensation. But the law dictates they are entitled to reasonable compensation if we take their property. And quite frankly, there's a possibility that the city might never do that. If, in fact, the citizens of the city believe that they were being provided with adequate water supply at reasonable rates, then there'd be no reason for them to initiate eminent domain. But the fact is that the citizens have determined that's not the case. They're paying too much. They're getting poor service. The summary judgment evidence establishes that they are being provided with that there are serious deficiencies in the system. There are fire flow deficiencies. There are a myriad of reasons why, and they want to take over this system. The rates are certainly a factor. Those rates are the highest in the area. The city, through the city council, determined it's stifling economic development. That is a public concern, and only the city is the body that should be has an incentive to address those issues. A private investor group that owns a public utility and is essentially a monopoly has no reason to try to lower rates. They have every reason to try to raise rates. And keep in mind, this is, again, a public utility. They exist for the benefit of the public. And if the public determines they're not doing their job, then the public should have the right to acquire those resources and use them themselves. So if we weren't going to provide them with fair compensation, I'd say you have an argument. But that's no different than a company that decides or is considering building a store on a street corner and say, well, you know, the city's probably going to expand the street one day. I better not do that because they could come in and condemn me. Well, yes, but if we do, we've got to pay them fair value. And guess what? People build those stores. So there's really no difference here, except that this is a monopoly, and we can't, according to their theory, ever change that. And literally, I mean ever. It is written in stone because there's no statutory authority for us to do that if you subscribe to their theory of the law. But I believe the law is not that. That's not the case. The government code is expressly clear that we can, in fact, condemn both public and private property for public purposes, and this is an inherently public purpose.
Well, let me ask a question. If you are taking a position that you're only condemning the real property, and they have to take all of their personal property away and put it to some other use if they can, but you're not going to take the position that the city has to pay for it, pay fair compensation for it, or for the fact that these investors have a going business?
The going concern issue is an issue that really goes to the question of damages. Can a city take a going concern? Their argument is a city can never take a going concern and put it out of business effectively. Well, that's just simply not the case. Imagine this. A city has a lake inside the city limits, and it wants to put a park around the lake. If there's a marina on that lake and the city wants to condemn that property, it can. Knowing full well that marina is going away if the city does that. In fact, the city could, I guess, take it and operate the marina itself as a public marina. But the fact is, it can condemn that. And the only caveat being that if it does, it's got to pay the owners of that marina fair market value for its property and any damages. Those damages might very well include all the damages relating to loss of a going concern. But that's an issue of damages for the trial court at trial, not on summary judgment. And so I think that's the answer to your question, Hope.
Thank you. I believe your time is up. We're ready to hear from Mr. Klo.
May it please the court. My name is Chris Clough. I'm here today on behalf of Southwest Water Company, who's the parent company of Monarch Utilities. Monarch Utilities is the utility company that's currently serving the city of Blue Mound with water and wastewater services and has been for some time. The issue in this case is fairly simple, but it's not as simple as it was stated by counsel for the appellant. The issue instead is, what do we do in the situation where a city intends to and takes over an operating utility that holds a certificate from the TCEQ and that is in the process of serving that area with utility services, when the effect of doing that is to destroy that ongoing business and that ongoing concern? The distinction that the city has tried to make through pleading amendments in this case, and they've filed several amendments to their petitions, which began with, we're going to take the entire operating system in Blue Mound, and ended with, we're going to only take the real property, is really a distinction without a difference. Because what the city is doing, whether they take the entire system or whether they just take all the real property out from underneath it, is to destroy the ongoing concern of the utility system in Blue Mound. And they admit that in the evidence and in the record that's before us in this case. And so the question is, how do we allow for a taking of an ongoing utility system, whether it's taken or whether it's destroyed, under the real property statutes, the real property condemnation statutes in the state of Texas? The answer is that is contrary to controlling precedent from the Texas Supreme Court. It's contrary to an existing statutory process that exists at the TCEQ, and it would lead to tremendous future issues if we were to allow cities to come in and pull the real estate out from underneath an operating utility so that it can step into the shoes of that utility and operate it itself. U.S. Supreme Court precedent has said starting in 1910, 1918, when the city of Omaha tried to do this, the city of Denver tried to do this, and even the city of Fort Worth tried to do this, that when a city takes an ongoing utility, steps into the shoes of that utility to operate the utility itself, it is required to pay the going concern value of that utility. So the question that the Lone Star Gas case answered, and it's a fairly simple question. A lot of mud has been thrown at Lone Star Gas in this case, but it's a fairly simple case. And the case asked the question, do the real property condemnation statutes in the state of Texas furnish a suitable and sufficient method for determining compensation and damages for the taking of an ongoing utility? That is the principal inquiry of the Lone Star Gas Court as they state. And the answer that they come to is no, for several reasons. First, commissioners are not qualified to value a going concern utility. Now, we handle condemnation cases across the state, and we go and see many different commissioners, and the only requirement that a commissioner has to serve on a condemnation panel is that they own property in the county in which the property being taken is located. Now, as a practical matter, that could be the judge's secretary, that could be the judge's mechanic, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Is that relevant to the issue here before us today in this case?
I think it's very relevant because it goes to the fact that the Lone Star Gas Court looked at, which is whether or not the administrative panel, and that's their first bite, is at that administrative panel, whether they have the ability to provide adequate compensation, to make an award of adequate compensation for the taking of this utility. And understand the import of that award. When they make that award, the city can turn around the next day and deposit that award amount in the court registry and get possession of that property. And on the day they do that, the utility is no longer able to serve, and the city's not able to serve because they don't have everything they need to operate the utility system. They just have the underlying real estate. So that is the problem one of the problems that the Lone Star Gas Court recognized is that the ability of the transfer of possession in these cases would not work under the real property condemnation statutes when you're taking the real property out from underneath or you're taking an ongoing utility system. The third issue that the court recognized is whether or not the real property condemnation system provides adequate security for the taking of a utility. As I said, they can make the deposit of the award, possession can be taken, and they can go on with that possession for some time until a court rules that they don't have the ability to take such property, and then they got to give it back. And they've got to pay damages for that. But the real property statutes, Chapter 21, says that cities don't have to put up security when they take real property. So there isn't going to be adequate security in such a taking. And that's the third thing that the Lone Star Gas Court recognized. The Lone Star Gas Court held that such takings in Texas are void. And that's been called an old decision. But 50 years after Lone Star Gas was decided, the city of Houston versus Southern Water was decided by the Houston Court of Appeals, and Lone Star Gas was filed. The very next year after the City of Houston Southern Water case, Chapter 13 of the Water Code was passed. And that's not a coincidence. The legislature could have passed many amendments to Chapter 21 of the Property Code that would have made such a taking, that would have provided rules for such a taking, that would have provided security for a utility in such a taking. They didn't do that. They passed Chapter 13 of the Water Code instead, and it has very detailed rules for such a situation. Chapter 13 of the Water Code provides the opportunity for a city to acquire the CCN of an operating utility. And there are many different bases on which it can do that, not the least important of which is 13.254A, which allows a city to take an existing CCN to step into the shoes of the utility service if that utility is not providing continuous and adequate service to the citizens or is not capable of providing continuous and adequate service to the citizens. The city could solve its problems, if that really is the problem, by going to the TCEQ and making a claim that Monarch is not providing continuous and adequate service. But they haven't done that. Why haven't they done that? Chapter 13 provides a comprehensive system for regulating utilities, including regulating rates. And the rates that the city complains of are rates that it's contested at rate cases at the TCEQ, and they're rates that the city has agreed to. But the city has recognized that it's not getting the reduction in rates at the TCEQ that it wants, so it goes to the district court and it tries to pull the real estate out from underneath the existing utility. They're not the first to try to do this. City of Tyler tried to do this 2 years ago, and the court said, we don't have jurisdiction. We don't have the ability to hear this claim. This is a TCEQ claim. Go to the TCEQ. The city of Blue Mound has been at the state legislature the last two legislative sessions trying to pass legislation that would allow it to do this, and the legislation has not passed. So we have controlling Supreme Court precedent that says this can't happen. We have a system that they're ignoring at the TCEQ that would provide the relief they're seeking, and they're not there. And the last thing I'd like to talk about as far as the reasons why this shouldn't be allowed is the problems that this could cause if it were allowed. They talk about a slippery slope. Though I don't believe that this case could allow cities to condemn private businesses, but I sure do believe that this case could allow more cities to do what they're doing. And if more cities do what they're doing, then their proposition that the district court should just go and fashion all the rules necessary to protect the utility companies, there's going to be a different rule applied in every case by each district court, but it's not going to be a district court applying the rules because the district courts don't have jurisdiction over condemnation cases in most counties. In San Antonio, the probate court has exclusive jurisdiction over condemnation cases. In Denton County, the probate court has exclusive jurisdiction. In Houston, the county court of law has exclusive jurisdiction over eminent domain cases. And in most of the other cases, the initial jurisdiction is most of the condemnation cases are filed in the county court at law. So this appeal to the district court that they can fashion the rules is really not actually accurate. Now, I don't need to tell you, justices, that Judge Womack is a careful and studied district court judge. And this issue was presented to her, and the city appealed to her to fashion the rules to protect the utility owner, to fashion the rules to make the condemnation go forward. And she refused to do that. And she refused to do that for all the reasons that I've stated legally. She refused to do it because it would create a situation where different rules are going to be applied in different courts. It certainly creates a separation of powers issue. Why is it not our legislature that's passing the rules and the regulations that should govern this kind of taking? And she dismissed the case. And that was the proper result. I want to talk briefly about the city's use of the bar shop case and its allegation that Lone Star Gas is no longer controlling precedent. Again, as I mentioned, the Lone Star Gas case answered a simple question about the propriety of a taking of a utility system under the real property statutes, and it held that such taking was void. There have been cases later that involve the constitutional interpretation of taking statutes and whether or not it's necessary for the statutes themselves to have all the rules in the statute, or whether they can delegate the rulemaking authority to future legislative action or to an executive agency like the Public Utility Commission. That's what Bar Shop and the Texas Building Owners cases are about. And the only line in that case that has anything to do with Lone Star Gas is in Texas Building Owners when it states that if Lone Star Gas stands for the proposition that a statute authorizing a taking must actually state the written details for the procedure and process of that taking, it may be inconsistent with Bar Shop. But we're not putting Lone Star Gas up for that meaning. We're putting Lone Star Gas up for the principal inquiry in the case, which is, do the real property condemnation statutes, not a question of whether they're constitutional or not. There's no question that they're constitutional. Lone Star Gas doesn't ask that question. It merely says when you take those statutes and apply them to this case, the taking of a utility system, do they provide adequate protection for the utility owner? And the answer in the Lone Star Gas case roundly was no. And nothing has changed in the meaning of that case. So on behalf of the appellees, we would request that this court affirm the underlying district court ruling. We believe that this is the most fair outcome. The halls of the Capitol and the TCEQ are open to Blue Mound, and they can go there for the relief they seek. That's the appropriate place for them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And now do we have rebuttal, Mr. Swallow?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very quickly, you just heard a lot of statement, quite a few statements about how the city could and should go to TCEQ, but you didn't hear one reference to a statutory provision that requires the city to go to TCEQ. You didn't hear one reference to a statute or to a law that says that the government, the local government code provisions that I referred the court to don't apply. The fact is they'd like us to go to TCEQ, but the truth is the city elected not to do that. You know, that's the city's prerogative. It wants to exercise its remedies. It's a statutorily permitted remedies under the local government code. And he said nothing, and he's got nothing in his brief, which indicates that the city can't do that, because there is nothing that indicates that the city can't do that. The only thing that they have to stand on is Lone Star Gas. And as I indicated, Lone Star Gas is flawed. And he said, well, sometimes eminent domain actions don't go to the district courts. Well, in any event, they go to a statutory court that has the authority to exercise equitable jurisdiction and equitable orders. And that's what the courts are there to do. You know, and the Texas Business Commerce Code, Section 2701, I believe it is, provides that an action for fraud in real estate transactions. And you know what remedy does? What remedy it specifies for a plaintiff in that case? Absolutely none. It allows the courts to fashion appropriate relief. And this case is no different. The statutes provide authority for this action, and the courts can fashion appropriate relief. They can enter orders. You know, the city's not going to come in there and pay the money and then watch the water stop. But even if it intended to do that, after the commissioner's award, which, by the way, the city stipulated and agreed that it would, that the court would, that we would not do that, but the court could have enjoined us. I mean, it's got full equitable powers to ensure that the public is protected and that the parties are protected. His argument about security, that there's nothing to secure the private utility if the city were to take over the property. Well, that's true for any condemnation action, quite frankly. If the city pays the money upon final judgment, and it's ultimately reversed, then that's a problem that the courts have to work out. But the truth is, the district court could even provide that the order won't be final and until the TCEQ mandates the change, which is something we agreed to. So all we're seeking here is to condemn the real property. The timing of that taking is entirely up to the court to set, and the court has the authority to protect all the parties and the public in allowing that to happen. With regard to the Houston case, if you read the Houston case, they just followed Lone Star Gas. They didn't try to analyze any changes in existing law. I argued that you should not follow that, because Lone Star Gas is no longer controlling given the change in the law that we have in front of us given the powers of the courts now. He wants you to fear the boogeyman. All these terrible things are going to happen, but the reality is that none of that is going to happen, because the courts have the authority to fashion the relief. If a court can put values on human lives, if a court can award damages in complex business cases involving far greater and larger businesses than these, then it can handle this case. Damages to goodwill, to reputation, all those things are routinely handled by the courts on a day-to-day basis, and guess what? The law provides adequate protection to all the parties, and that's all we're looking for here. Let the district court do her job, send the quick case back with some guidance as to that she has the authority to exercise her equitable powers, and let us try the case. With regard to one other thing, the evidence shows that there is a need for this. I mean, the evidence demonstrates the high rates, it demonstrates the poor water flow issues and the other service deficiencies. Yes, the city could have gone to TCEQ, could go to TCEQ, but the reality is TCEQ is an inadequate remedy according in the city's mind, and it chose to go down another path, a path that is authorized to do, and that's what we asked the court to do in this case, reverse the summary judgment, and let us have our day in court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sorrell. Thank you to both counsel. Excellent arguments and briefs. Difficult issue. Your case is submitted and you're excused. And we will adjourn court for the day.